Welcome back to the Anger Reset. In this session, we examine another anger style, displaced anger. This is a pattern where our frustration at the true source of our anger, whether a difficult boss, an unfair system, or a past wound, gets rerouted onto an innocent bystander or object. That chair we kick, our spouse, our children, or colleagues who had nothing to do with the original offense. By exploring displaced anger, we address both the mechanics of misdirected emotion and the spiritual imperative to process anger rightly before the Lord, lest we wound innocent people, dishonoring both them and the Lord. Let's identify our objectives for this session. First, we will define displaced anger and identify its cues and hallmark behaviors. We'll clarify the difference between direct anger, which addresses the real source of our anger, and displaced anger, which misfires our anger on someone else or something else. We will look for signs like angry outbursts triggered by minor annoyances, chronic irritability with safe targets, and the pattern of taking it out on someone who didn't cause the hurt. Second, we will illuminate the physiological, psychological, and spiritual mechanisms of displaced anger. We will consider the body. You'll learn how the same fight or flight activation that readies you to confront your real antagonist instead gets hijacked, and how unresolved cortisol surges and adrenaline dumps drive you to lash out at convenient but undeserving targets. We'll consider the mind. We'll trace the cognitive distortions, rumination loops, projection and justification that reroute your anger, keeping you from naming and confronting the true source. And we'll consider the spirit by examining how the flesh seeks quick emotional relief, while the spirit calls us to bring our anger before God, discern its rightful place, and pursue constructive action. Third, we will contrast unjust redirection with righteous, spirit-led processing. Drawing from biblical examples, we'll distinguish sinful misplacement of anger from righteous indignation that targets injustice without collateral damage. And fourth, we will apply the 5-step anger reset in the context of displaced anger. We'll practice our reset framework to reroute displaced fury into God-honoring outcomes. Throughout this session, keep in mind, displaced anger only multiplies the harm to our bodies, our relationships, and our witness. But the gospel, the grace of Jesus plus the power of the Holy Spirit, gives us a pathway to break the cycle, confront the real source of our pain, and engage in healing, God-honoring action. Let's dive in and define displaced anger. When you redirect frustration from its true source to a safer, more convenient target, you engage in displaced anger. This pattern both numbs the pain of the real offense and wounds innocent bystanders. There are cues to watch for. Physical cues include the same signals as open anger: a red face, tense posture, or a clenched jaw. Verbal cues can include sarcasm, nitpicking, and criticism, all aimed at the wrong person. Behavioral cues include slamming doors at home after a workplace conflict, snapping at kids after a tough meeting, venting on social media instead of addressing the source of the anger. Proverbs 14:29 reads, "Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly." Some of the key traits of displaced anger include misdirected anger that results in outbursts at home after experiencing stress elsewhere. You might hold unaddressed anger toward a coworker or boss, but telling them feels too risky. In your body, you feel that unreleased tension, maybe an elevated heart rate, an adrenaline rush that needs an outlet. And without a spirit-led reset, you default to the fleshly escape of a misdirected release by misdirecting the anger toward your spouse or child. In the workplace, you might criticize subordinates as a result of your supervisor's unfavorable treatment of you. You feel powerless after receiving an unfair mandate from your boss, so you regain control by snapping at those beneath you. Another key feature of displaced anger is the physical objects that take the hit. By slamming doors or throwing items, our nervous system discharges the built-up adrenaline and cortisol. But the only thing broken is trust and relational safety. Proverbs 12:18 reads, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords." Even our nonverbal hits cut deep. Displaced anger makes innocent parties bleed for someone else's sin. Well, let's move on to the physiological and psychological roots of directed anger. Let's begin with the body. To dismantle displaced anger, we must trace its mechanisms in our bodies and souls in order to see how the spirit provides the pathway to an anger reset. Let's consider what happens in the body when displaced anger occurs. After the initial trigger, such as a boss's unfair critique, adrenaline and cortisol remain elevated for minutes and sometimes for hours. Our prefrontal cortex, sidelined by the amygdala hijack that we discussed in session one, still craves discharge. In the absence of direct confrontation, it drives you toward any available victim. We're more likely to lash out at those over whom we hold perceived power, family members, subordinates, social media friends, because the risks of retaliation there are minimal. That's our body when displaced anger occurs. Now let's consider the soul, our mind, our will, and emotions. We recognize that there is a power differential at play. We can't safely challenge our boss because of the power imbalance, so we reclaim dominance by berating a loved one who can't fire us or challenge us. Then we engage in projection. We project our anger onto others when minor irritations occur that allow for the venting of our anger. We might also engage in emotionally distorted reasoning. This happens when we confuse feeling with fact. I feel furious, so this person must deserve it, even when someone else triggered the fury. Let's consider some scripture that speaks to displaced anger. Knowing God's truth helps us know who we are in Christ and helps us transform by renewing our minds when we are confronted with thoughts that are contrary to it. Proverbs 14:29 reads, "Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly." Patience correlates with self-regulation of the nervous system. Slower heart rate, deeper breathing, whereas a quick temper reflects an undisciplined fight response. Patience springs from an understanding that not every slight demands immediate reaction. It recognizes the bigger picture. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. When displaced anger tempts us to lash out at a safe target, we can ask the Holy Spirit for grace to display patience, to wait on the Lord, and discern the true source of our frustration. Ephesians 4:31 reads, "Let all bitterness, rage, and anger be put away from you, along with all malice." Bitterness and rage fester when anger is misdirected and unresolved. Intentional putting away is not passive. It requires a faith choice, active surrender, confessing the bitterness and rage, calling them out, and handing them over to Christ in prayer. Remembering that we have a new heart and a new spirit in Christ, one that does not want to give the wheel to the flesh. This helps us. This echoes the call to put off the old self in Ephesians 4:22 and to clothe ourselves in the new self in Ephesians 4:24, that new self that is marked by our identity in Christ. In our reset framework, this corresponds to step two, engage the Spirit, taking those bitter, rageful, and angry thoughts captive, and also step five, to treat others with grace, choosing to forgive and release resentment rather than project it onto innocent bystanders. Colossians 3:13 reads, "Bear with each other and forgive one another, just as the Lord forgave you." Bearing with one another requires emotional maturity, endurance, and empathy. Forgiveness disrupts the displaced anger cycle by redirecting our focus from retaliation toward reconciliation, extending to others the same grace we have received in Christ. This is the heart of step 5 of the anger reset: treat others with grace. Making a faith choice to engage in restorative dialogue with the actual source of our anger rather than misfiring at a surrogate. And finally, Psalms 4:4 reads, "Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent." David invites us to ponder our anger, an internal reflective process that acknowledges the feeling without immediately externalizing it. Keeping silent until on our beds suggests a moment of solitude, using the quiet of personal prayer or journaling to process your anger before the Lord rather than express it. This text parallels the amygdala hijack corrective. Before the anger erupts, we bring our feelings to God in honest prayer. This maps to the anger reset step 1, recognize the cues, and step 3, settle the body. Noting the stirrings of anger, then pausing in silent reflection to align our response with the leading of the Holy Spirit. Together, these passages teach us to slow down, Proverbs 14:29, dispose of malignant anger, Ephesians 4:31, extend forgiveness toward the true object of our hurt, Colossians 3:13, and reflect in silence before we speak, Psalm 4:4. To further sharpen our insight into displaced anger, we turn to two Greek terms that capture its dynamics at the level of character and interaction. Orgilos is our first word. It means prone to anger, irascible. This word is found in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, in Proverbs 22:24. "Make no friendship with a man given to anger," and that's our word, orgilos, "nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways." Orgilos describes not a one-off outburst, but a habitual temperament, easily incited. In a displaced anger framework, an orgilos person internalizes triggers, stress hormones, and unresolved grievances, and then habitually unleashes that built-up irritation on safe targets. A chronic orgilos temperament reflects a deep-seated mental framework of injustice, someone who's easily wronged, and that temperament demands regular emotional discharge. Romans 12:2's call to renew your mind undermines the orgilos disposition by reorienting our default from reactive anger that gets repressed to spirit-produced patience and gentleness. Our second Greek word is paroxysmo, to provoke to anger. We considered this word earlier in our session on open aggression. It is found in Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." Paroxysmo identifies the provocateur, the instigator, someone whose words or actions stir another person's wrath. Victims of displaced anger can themselves become paroxysmo agents if they fail to address the root cause and instead provoke innocent parties. This can occur when a child is a victim of displaced anger from a parent and is provoked to unleash their resulting anger against a younger sibling. But Ephesians 4:29 commands us to speak words that build up. By replacing provoking language with truth spoken in love, we dismantle both the disposition to displace our anger and the relational triggers that perpetuate the cycle. Together, orgilos and paroxysmo map a circuit of displaced anger. A prone to anger temperament, orgilos, generates internalized tension, which is then redirected and even provoked onto safer and more vulnerable targets. Parogitsa. By understanding these Greek terms, we gain a clearer map of the inner and relational map of displaced anger, and a more precise target for God's transforming grace. To see displaced anger in action, let's examine three Old Testament narratives where God's servants, Saul, Moses, and Balaam, each misdirect their fury, wounding innocent parties and dishonoring God. In 1 Samuel 22, we have the account of King Saul and the priests at Nob. In this account, King David had fled from Saul. In a paranoid frenzy, Saul ordered the execution of the priests of Nob, 85 innocent men, because he assumed that they helped King David. Saul's insecurity and envy toward David became a projection. Every priest's loyalty became suspect. His cognitive distortion that they must be David's allies justified a mass execution. In seeking to protect his throne, Saul elevated fear above obedience to the Lord. His action violated the sanctity of God's appointed priests and God's command to preserve innocent life. In Exodus 32, we have the account of Moses and the golden calf. While Moses is on Mount Sinai, Israel fashioned and worshipped a golden calf. Descending, Moses heard and then saw the Israelites sinning, and with righteous indignation, he smashed the tablets, a misplaced act of wrath. Moses' righteous anger at Israel's idolatry turned toward the tablets. He discharged his anger against an inanimate object rather than the living hearts that sinned. While the idolatry was sinful, God's patience and plan for restoration called for intercession, not destruction. Moses' momentary displacement of anger risked undermining God's mercy. Finally, in Numbers 22, we have the account of Balaam and his donkey. Balaam was riding toward Balak's camp in disobedience. God sent an angel to block his path. The donkey could see the angel. Balaam could not. The donkey turned aside to avoid the angel. Frustrated by this donkey's behavior, he struck the donkey 3 times. Balaam's goal-driven impatience and desire for reward blinded him to the spiritual warning. He displaced his own frustration onto the donkey. His impulsive strike was a case of displaced aggression, an immediate physical outlet for thwarted expectations. By striking the donkey, he disrespected divine revelation. His heart was not aligned with God's instruction, leading to misdirected violence. In each story, Saul's terror, Moses' zeal, and Balaam's impatience, hidden anger misfired on innocent victims or objects. Let's consider some contemporary scenarios. The first example is a workplace scenario that is triggered when a manager feels unfairly criticized by the CEO. Unable or unwilling to confront upward, she projects that resentment onto her team, berating them for minor errors. The manager buys into the cognitive distortion that if I don't vent on someone, I'll implode. Elevated cortisol from the CEO's critique remains unprocessed, so the manager's voice tone sharpens, shoulders stiffen and eyebrows knit, all physical markers of displaced aggression. But Ephesians 4:31 and 32 calls us to put away rage and extend forgiveness. Here the manager can pause, recognize the true source of the anger, and choose a spirit-led response, perhaps a humble conversation with the CEO or a prayer for grace and perspective before addressing her team. Our second scenario involves a teen who suffers bullying at school. Feeling powerless, the teen returns home and snaps at his younger sibling over a trivial disagreement. A deep-seated, I'm unsafe mindset leads him to reclaim control when and where he can. His fight or flight system overshoots. His body that was primed for self-defense now unleashes on a safe target. But Colossians 3:13 urges to bear with one another and forgive one another. The teen can be mentored by a parent or teacher to recognize the true source of his anger, pray for grace and wisdom, and then choose compassionate communication with his sibling instead of a harsh outburst. Our third scenario involves a pastor who receives anonymous criticism about the church's direction. Fearful of losing respect, the pastor misdirects his frustration by publicly chastising the worship team for a lack of excellence. In this scenario, the pastor is projecting his anger toward the anonymous critic onto the worship team. An elevated voice and maybe even a pointed finger mask the pastor's own insecurity, while the adrenaline surge fuels a performance mode rather than pastoral care. But James 1:19 and 20 calls us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. The pastor is invited to pause, prayerfully seek clarity on the anonymous feedback, then address the worship team with humility and truth rather than misdirected rebuke. In each of these examples, displaced anger creates a chain reaction. Pain passes from its true source to those we love or lead. Our call as Spirit-filled believers is to interrupt that chain reaction and reset our anger when we see the warning light flash on our dashboard. Displaced anger isn't simply a bad habit. It's part of the spiritual war between the flesh and the spirit. Our choices determine whether our anger wounds the innocent or honors Jesus Christ and the new life we have in Him. The flesh always justifies our anger. With displaced anger, it deflects and rationalizes. It says, I can't face the real offender, so I'll shift the blame. It justifies snapping at a spouse after work or lashing out at a teammate for a boss's mistake. Galatians 5:19 and 21 lists dissensions, jealousy, and fits of anger among the works of the flesh, patterns that breed relational injury when they're misdirected. But the Holy Spirit provides grace to confront or release the person who triggers our anger. Galatians 5:22 and 23 lists the Spirit's fruit that includes patience, gentleness, and self-control, equipping us to face the real source of anger with compassion and courage. If direct confrontation isn't wise, Romans 12:19 reminds us, Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. In other words, the Spirit grants us grace to make faith choices, to trust God's word and power, to free us from punishing innocent bystanders. Our identity in Christ is empowered by resurrection life. Romans 8:11 tells us that the same Spirit who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Jesus displayed this Spirit when, while hanging on the cross, after being beaten, mocked, and flogged, asked the Father to forgive those who crucified him. Luke 23:34. By His grace, we too can extend forgiveness to the true offender and entrust our grievance to God rather than transferring it onto someone else. Well, let's close this session by applying the anger reset to the displaced anger style. We've seen how displaced anger wounds the innocent and dishonors God's justice. Let's walk through our 5-step reset to reroute that energy toward healing and freedom. Step one is recognize the cues. In the case of displaced anger, that means spot the redirect. Ask yourself, why am I angry right now? Is my frustration truly about this person and situation, or am I misplacing it? Conduct a body check. Notice where the tension sits, a clenched fist, a racing pulse. Then identify whether the person before you is the real offender or simply a convenient target. Step two is engage the Spirit by taking your thoughts captive. Conduct a thought audit. Ask yourself, what beliefs am I clinging to? Thoughts like, I can't confront my boss, or I need to blow off steam. Replace those lies with the truth about who you are in Christ. Step 3 is settle the body. Breathe. Count to 10. Confess your anger rather than act on it. Pray for those you're tempted to lash out at, asking the Lord to protect them. Identify the real offender. Name the true source of your frustration and pray, asking the Lord for wisdom and grace to address the situation in a manner that pleases Him. Step 4 is energize the soul. Renew your mind with God's Word to position yourself to make faith choices to reset your anger. Scriptures like Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. 1 Peter 3:9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Meditate on these verses until they become your default filter, transforming the impulse to lash out into the resolve to bless and build. And finally, step 5, treat others with grace. Apologize and make amends to the person you wrongfully targeted. Say, I'm sorry for snapping at you. My anger belonged elsewhere, not with you. Explain without excuses. Briefly share the real source of your anger. I was frustrated by a situation at work and I mishandled it. Then pursue the true source. If it's safe to confront, ask the Holy Spirit for courage and wisdom to speak with the actual offender, using I statements and seeking resolution, reconciliation. If direct confrontation isn't wise, cast all your anxieties on the Lord, forgive from your heart, and leave vengeance to God, placing your trust in Him. Displaced anger can feel like an easy fix, venting on a safer target. But true healing comes when we bring our anger before God, reset it with His grace, and make faith choices that result in Spirit-led action. Use the anger reset to transform misfires into faithful steps of grace, mercy, and reconciliation. As we close this module on displaced anger, let's turn our learning into personal transformation. Reflect honestly on these questions, then choose one concrete step to break the cycle of misdirected fury if this happens to be your anger style. First, when did I last vent at the wrong target? Recall a recent incident. Maybe you snapped at a loved one or slammed a door. Name the moment and the real trigger behind your anger. Next, what stopped me from confronting the true source? Was it fear of conflict, a power imbalance, or a desire to avoid discomfort? Identify the barrier that rerouted your response. Next, which scripture comforts my fear of direct conflict? Perhaps it's Psalm 4:4, be angry and do not sin, ponder in your own hearts. Or Romans 12:19, beloved, never avenge yourselves. Choose one promise or command to meditate on this week. And finally, who needs an apology or clarification from me? Identify an innocent bystander who felt your displaced anger. Commit to a simple outreach. I'm sorry for how I reacted earlier. My frustration was really about X, not you. Displaced anger may seem harmless when directed at softer targets, but it fractures trust and wounds relationships. By resetting your anger, you can make Spirit-led faith choices to face the real source, either through righteous confrontation or trusting God with your grievance. Step forward in the Spirit's power and let grace break every chain of misplaced fury. God bless you. We'll see you in the next session.